Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FBI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. Today I'm going to be speaking with Mickey Johnson, whose play American Falls is currently playing at the Atwater Village Theater. Mickey received her BFA in creative writing at the University of Pittsburgh and her MFA in acting from Yale University. American Falls, her first full-length play, premiered at Houston's Catastrophic Theater in 2012, earning her the Houston Theater Award for Best Playwright. Subsequent productions have taken place at the Cleveland Public Playhouse in 2014, and earlier this year, 2015, in Pittsburgh by Bare Bones Productions, and she currently writes for AMC's Hell on Wheels. So welcome, Mickey.
Thanks so much for having me. Hi.
Well, the first thing that really jumped out at me when I was reading American Falls was how seamlessly you wove together the voices of the play's characters. And two things actually jumped into my mind to begin with. And that was kind of whose voice came to you first or was the loudest in your mind? And how did you begin to find those places of intersection to weave the play together?
Yeah, the play I wrote very quickly, and it all came in sort of a blast of energy over the course of about, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 days or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, not induced by anything. I was teaching college in Houston, Texas, and I was on Christmas break down there, and I wrote it quickly. I wrote it kind of almost in the order in which you see it today, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, so there is a kind of magic character called Billy Mound of Clouds, and the answer to your question, I think, is that it was his voice that came first, but that might not be true. I don't really remember. And, you know, it sort of came all at once, and I think of it kind of as a mystery a little bit, or at least just irritating in that you're not quite sure how it's all relating to itself. And so I think that mysterious quality probably is a direct result of the fact that I worked through it in a really forceful kind of linear way. I don't mean forceful in a bummer way. I mean just in a really energetic way, I should say. And so it was all instinct, I think, is probably my best answer.
Wow, that is fascinating. I really never would have thought that. I'm really glad I asked that question, though, because it is so, there. You know, you have a number of voices, and they are so carefully woven together that I just assumed that it was like almost like a quilt that you had stitched together. That's amazing that it was so linear. How did you start developing the play once it was written?
Well, that was with the help of a really great group of people in Houston, the Catastrophic Theater. Great director, great group of actors. When I say that you see it in the order that I wrote it, that's only, you know, mostly true. The play was workshopped by a handful of really great artists down there. For the most part, though, it didn't change too much. It got better for sure, but it didn't, you know, structurally it was always sort of, it's a really monologue driven play, and it sort of has these, I don't know, interwoven bar scenes, you know, naturalistic sort of dialogue scenes woven in there. So it doesn't really stick to any sort of style, really, necessarily. But it was workshopped by a whole bunch of real good actors, good designers, good everybody. So that's how I developed that play, which is the best way to develop any play, for sure, is with a bunch of talented people.
Yeah. How did you get Echo, who's putting it on in Los Angeles?
Yeah, that is through Playwrights Horizons in New York is technically how I met those the good people at the Echo. So they're friends. they're friends over there. Chris is friends with Chris, the AD at Echo, is friends with Tim, the AD at Playwrights Horizons in New York. And so And I got hooked up with Playwrights Horizons just because I got, you know, real lucky and, you know, got a real neat agent in Brooklyn a few years back who's just a great, you know, avant-garde theater person. And she had, you know, gave my stuff to Playwrights Horizons, who's a great development theater in New York. And so that is how Chris here in Los Angeles found the play, how we found each other. They are great. They do great stuff. They're so here at the Echo. They're so dedicated to writers. And they're real, you know, spunky, talented, passionate group of people. It's really nice to have. I just moved here 7 months ago. And so it's nice to have found. Yeah, it's nice to know they're here, you know. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, American Falls does share traits with Our Town, the pretty well-known play, mm-hmm. for incorporating all the different voices within a small town. But I wondered if it was important for you to inhabit that space between life and death, because you have a ghost character. And what's kind of fun and juicy about writing those kind of characters?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I wish that I could say that the stuff that I chose to do in this play was willful or smart or intentional or something. I don't know why I did it. I think that there's something nice and liberating about just making up a character that's a ghost so you can you can wax about death a little bit and sort of talk about that a little bit, which can be a bummer and it can feel good too. There's nothing really too fancy about it. I'm not, you know, it is kind of like Our Town. I don't think I'm doing anything that anyone hasn't done before. I think right. I kind of follow that. I sort of, so I listened to this musician, Elliot Smith, who you might know from,
Elliot.
Sure. Right. So I wrote a play about him a while back, which is not relevant to what I'm about to say, but I got really into him a few years back, and I was watching some YouTube videos of him, and he said something that really resonated with me. He said, you can spend a lot of time trying to, you know, come up with a whole new, I'm misquoting him here, like a whole new thing, or you can kind of work inside of the conventions that, you know, you already know and love and that already work. And you can just work really wildly within those. And to be honest, I think that's one of the smartest things I've ever heard. I spent some time as an actor and as a writer trying to sort of, I don't know, invent something maybe. And sure. Really all I wanted to do was just say stuff, tell stories. And so none of the stuff I do is really too fancy. It's just whatever comes to mind, to try and make it fun, try and make it a story that's not boring, something's happening. And, you know, I think it's worth, you know, the people want a little something. And I just want to tell stories. And so, you know, it's not too hard to frame up, really.
It's true. I kind of want to deviate from the questions I prepared to ask you about that play about Elliot Smith. He used to live here in Los Angeles, as you might know, and you actually live in my neighborhood. So he's kind of a hero among many of my friends. So would you mind just talking about that just for a second and tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. It's a play that it's called Clean Through. It's a relationship play more than anything. It's about a guy, it started out about Elliot. It ended up about a guy named Nick. You know, it's not a biography play, but it's very, right. very much inspired by, let's see how to explain. I would say him and what I would imagine it would have been like to be in love with him, and sort of a reflection of my own relationship at the time, which has since ended. So,
okay.
You know, whatever. It was about, you know, it was about addiction too, and that part was was really a lot about Elliot sort of directly, and this character was also a rock star, although it's not really a big part of the play. And it's about him and his dissolving relationship with his long-term girlfriend and his very difficult relationship with his sister. That's what the play is about, and it's you know, takes place in L.A. I was living in Houston when I wrote it. I put it in L.A. And I think that the play, to be honest, it was produced in Houston. I think it needs a little more density to it. Now that I live in L.A., I feel like I could write it out a little bit more, to be honest, which would be fun. But it's a relationship play, and it's a suicide play, which I tend to write because American Falls is also that. So, right. You know, that comes up every now and then, too. So yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking that little detour with me. I just was really
interested.
To ask, and now I'm really curious to see that eventually, hopefully. But back to American Falls. So objects are really important in American Falls as well, and you have the character who has the psychic abilities who attributes his abilities to his shoes. So a lot of people might be in the process of writing their own plays who listen to this podcast, and I was wondering if you have any particular attraction to certain objects or if objects are powerful in your narrative.
That's a cool question. You know, I think that before objects are really important to me, and I think that they come from rhythm, though, first. I think... Okay. The nouns that I end up choosing, I don't know, shoes, Billy Mound of Clouds, it's all about meter to me somehow, and that too is just instinct. It's not something I can explain, but I don't think I start with the shoes. I think I start with the music of the language, and then the shoes exist there in the world, and then I can play with the shoes. If that makes any sense. I think that, like, I work rhythmically over anything else. I don't know what that means to the people who are listening. I guess what it means to me is that, you know, anything funny, anything music, anything that really gets in, really, you know, moves me is ultimately all about I don't know, rhythm. And so that's sort of how I start. And then, you know, yeah, objects are super fun and super important. And I do, and magic is super fun too, because, you know, why not? It's, you know, why not? It's theater. It's theater. It's okay for it to be fun. It's okay for it to be magical, not really be too heavy, not me, you know, or sure. Be super heavy. That's all okay in the theater, which is great, you know. So
absolutely.
I don't know if that was a very good answer.
I think so. I mean, I think I know what you're talking about. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like what you mean is when you say it comes from the meter, it sounds like the word for the thing would need to fit rhythmically in the words that you're choosing. Is that
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, and so I think I populate the world based on something that is sort of like an internal metronome that I think everybody has, every writer has it,
yeah.
You know, and it depends on your mood, depends on what you're writing. But, yeah, I think it does come from like, you know, like anything, like music. It just comes from that place.
Then there's a sort of humor that comes in when it's something so mundane.
Yeah, exactly. I do, yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of almost every single waking minute of my life is mundane. So that's why I tend to write about that stuff, you know. It's like I'm sitting in the car and my air conditioner in the car is broken or I'm doing dishes I'm doing something very boring. I think it's the most relatable thing in the world. Is the boring. So,
I agree. Well, finally,
yeah.
I always like to ask people what they're working on next and what we can look forward to down the line from you here after American Falls.
Yeah, well, I'm play-wise, I am working on a commission with, again, Playwrights Horizons in New York. I wrote a play called Avalanche, which is, although I have written many plays since, is actually, I would say, in some ways similar to American Falls in that it's like very storyteller driven. I would say it takes place somewhere in the Midwest, again, in Ohio probably, which is where I'm from. It's a small town play, I suppose, is what I'm saying anyway. And I am doing that play. It is not a musical, but it's very music-centric, and I'm excited about a collaboration I'm doing here in Los Angeles. There's an excellent band. They're actually playing tomorrow night at the Echo. They're called Man Man. They're a really great band, and they're going to compose, the lead singer of that band anyway is going to compose the music for this play, and so it's really very cool. And exciting, so it's rock and roll, very exciting, fun stuff, and so that's what I'm working on theater-wise. Otherwise, I don't know. I came to town, and I got this job at AMC, which was a ton of fun, and it's over now, which is also good. It was great, but the show ended, so that there's, nothing to do about that. It was awesome. So I'm not sure what's coming up next. We'll see. I feel pretty good about it. I don't know. I have only been here for ever so briefly. So, I'm taking it easy, seeing what might happen. I don't know.
Take a victory lap. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today and break a leg.
Well, thank you. It was very nice, and thanks for all the work that y'all do over there. It's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Great.
American Falls runs at the Atwater Village Theater until October 18th. It's directed by Chris Fields and stars Ian Merrigan, Leandro Cano, Tomek Adler, Michael McCall, Deborah Poet, Garrett Hansen, Andrea Grunow, Jessica Goldapple, Beth Triffin, Eric Honeycutt, Carl Herlinger, and Barbara Tarbuck. For more information about tickets, go to www.echotheatercompany.com/American Falls, or you can email the box office at boxoffice@echotheatercompany.com, and that's Theater Company, E-R, not R-E. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.